Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mdala, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, my brother. How are you? Long time.
Long time, long time. I think we're speaking for the first time this year. Are you well?
Yes, I'm very well. Compliments of the new year.
Compliments indeed. I hope that you have settled in and very well this year.
I have. I hope you have settled well too.
We have indeed. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon with you. We're talking about conflict resolution. And of course, the conflict is not a strange thing for people. You know, in the workplace, conflict causes a massive degree of frustration, pain, discomfort, sadness, as well as anger. You know, organizations hire employees from a diverse cultural and intellectual backgrounds and viewpoints. And so in a working environment where people have a differing outlooks towards the same problem, how does a leader, resolve conflict? And by the way, conflict also span over, workplaces. It goes to homes, it goes to churches, it goes to everywhere where there is a convolution of people in one place, where there is leaders or followers, whether it is friendships, colleagues and workplaces, etc., etc. So we want to talk about this. So is conflict inevitable? Or is it possible to avoid it altogether?
It's impossible to avoid conflict. And actually, I would say it's a necessary evil. It's actually needed. Yes.
Is that so?
Yes. If, any relationship that involves conflict avoidance, it's a boring and it's usually bound to die.
Ooh.
Because... Yes. So conflict is a necessary evil because it brings about change, positive change, if it is handled well. So you will notice that I will not understand, what bothers you and what angers you until your conflict arises.
True,
so we can
true.
Only improve one, our communication when there's a conflict. Maybe if I step on your toes and you told me that, you know what, I don't like this business of you stepping on my toes. So if I'm a reasonable person, next time I avoid stepping on your toes. You know, people sometimes do jokes, humor and all those things. But a person may not be interested in those jokes. And if it's clarified, maybe it's a conflict, then maybe a person gets angry because of a joke or maybe a statement, then it means next time I will know my boundaries. So conflict helps to set boundaries. If it's actually done, resolved well, conflict helps to strengthen relationships. It actually helps to improve communication and knowing each other better within an organization, even in our families.
Interesting. I thought that we can actually do without conflicts because, if I say it up front that, this is the kind of environment I'd like to work in and this is how I would like us to work, or in a home, how this is how I would like us to behave, etc., etc. And everybody has got a very clear picture of the do's and don'ts. In that way, we could avoid conflict, wouldn't we?
No, we can't. I keep on emphasizing that even if we do have policies and all, but you also agree with me that in any family, in any organization, there are also some unwritten laws or unwritten, code of conduct. That even if we do have laws that are there, we are bound to interpret them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we are bound to interpret them differently. And there are some behavioral traits, even personal differences. For example, we are at work in a kitchen. Maybe somebody likes drinking tea while they are seated down, but somebody likes drinking tea when they are standing. And, somebody might actually get offended by someone who's doing things that are different from them. Mm-hmm. Those are not written rules, but they are practices that are there that are not written anyway, but still offending some other people. You might actually, even in your day-to-day conversation, or maybe at the workplace, somebody may just feel that I'm doing more than the other person who is paid more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be actually, yes.
Interesting. So would you then say, you did say that if there's no conflict, I had a word boring there, I had a word no growth there. So would it not be a sign of success if a team claims to have never experienced a conflict? After all, if the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
I can't personally, even in marital setup, I wouldn't say that a relationship is successful when there's no conflict. You know, where there are two or more human beings, conflict is bound to happen.
Yeah.
Why? And if you say you are in a relationship that doesn't have conflict, there are two things that could be happening. It's an abusive relationship or somebody's bottling up issues.
Interesting.
Because we are coming from different backgrounds. You know, by just being of different age, our interests actually vary. For example, if you say maybe a 20-year person is working at a company and maybe a 40-year person, in terms of how these guys perceive even technology, you know, use of technology can be different. And that can be a source of a conflict. Because the other one is saying, I want hard copies. And the other one is saying, no, let's try to work with soft copies. You know, and that can actually be a source of a conflict. Because somebody's feeling that, yeah, you know, this one doesn't want to be technologically, you know, up there. And the other one is saying, yeah, these young people are lazy. So that can be. So if you see any relationship organization that doesn't have some form of conflict, two things could be happening. Either one is bottling up issues, they are just being abused, but they are not saying things. Or the other person is just deciding to say, okay, this is happening, and I'll keep quiet. Now, the challenge with bottling up issues is that one day when those issues actually burst, then the relationship would die instantly.
Mm. Yeah, that becomes very dangerous, eh?
Yes, that's very dangerous.
Well, now, what would you say then are signs of a healthy conflict? I'm using the word healthy here advisedly because you are saying that there's bound to be conflict. And I'm not sure if there would be a healthy conflict or unhealthy conflict. Perhaps we could start there and then we can then define what signs are there in a healthy conflict.
So maybe let me start by defining a conflict itself.
Okay, please.
I think
do.
That's important.
All right,
so
yeah.
A conflict is actually a disagreement where there are different views in terms of how to do things, how we perceive and define things. For example, I always give an example of, maybe you are traveling. Some might say, let's use a train. And some the other person will say, I know, let's use these small taxis. You know, if that disagreement is not properly handled, it can actually best to be a very serious. Let's go back to the Bible, because this is a Christian platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul and Barnabas had a conflict over money. When they were supposed to preach somewhere, and Paul was saying, no, Mark, let's leave him behind. But
yeah.
Barnabas was saying, no, let's go with Mark. So that is a conflict. You know, at face value, somebody would say, but, you know, just deciding, should we go with a person or no? But that actually resulted in these guys going different ways. And Paul said, no, because you don't want to go with Mark, and I'm going this direction, and you take this direction. So this actually shows that something that is just a small disagreement is actually a conflict, and it actually needs to be. And the good thing about Paul and Barnabas, they actually also showed us how a conflict should resolve, because later on, they found each other, they sat down, and they discussed. That's where even in the Bible, you see later on Paul saying, Barnabas, when you're coming, please come with Mark, because they managed to resolve their conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So a healthy conflict for me is a conflict where you respect each other in the way you do our things. We have our differences, but in those differences, we continue respecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And also a healthy conflict is one where one is also prepared to listen. You know, sometimes, so many times people want things to be done their way. They don't want to listen to the other person. They're just saying, I'm right and you are wrong. I normally call it, a winner takes all approach. So many people like to adopt the winner takes all approach, where they're saying, my story should be listened. I'm the right person. That way, that one now is not a health conflict. And there are some people who are naturally, you know, they always want to dominate, you know, they always want to be on top of the situation. So if you're coming from a position of dominance, you cannot solve conflict, and that's an unhealthy conflict.
Beautiful that you have explained exactly what an unhealthy conflict and why would there be an unhealthy conflict. So how should then a team leader go about, resolving a conflict in the workplace?
I think the first is when at the workplace, the most important thing for me is to understand the source of the conflict.
Mm.
where is the conflict emanating from? Because so many times we end up dealing with symptoms without addressing the root causes. So if it's a workplace, for example, maybe it could be an issue of policies. Mm-hmm. Maybe the policies are actually wrong at the first, for status. Perhaps the policies, they are maybe biased towards maybe men, and they are oppressive maybe towards women. I'm just giving an example. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, there could be some conflict between men and women, because women will say, this policy, they favor you. And men are saying, no, this policy. And as a result, conflict may emanate. So the team leader, the first thing that they should do is to analyze the culture of the organization, analyze the policies of the organization, analyze also the structure of the organization, the workplace. So those could be the sources of conflict. Maybe issues around reporting lines, they are not very clear. And somebody's claiming to be the boss. Mm. And in that instance, there are no clear demarcations of power. And that can result in conflict. So the boss should actually try to understand the root causes. And after the and sometimes you could actually think that there's a conflict, yet it's just a grapevine. You know what I mean? So the team leader should also understand, try to establish the genuinity. Is it a genuine conflict? Mm-hmm. Or is maybe somebody is putting a certain, is pushing a certain agenda? So it could be just be grapevine, gossips around in the corridors, and there's no substantive issue to talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's all those things. It's important to then look. Of course, grapevine usually it can actually result to be correct information, but try as much as possible to understand the root causes. For me, that's the first thing. But the other way of resolving conflict for me is to try as much as possible to speak out.
Okay.
Earlier, exactly. People have attended, especially at the workplace, because the workplace, the struggle is between survival and also trying to deal with the conflict. So it could be a boss or a team leader, like what you said, who is actually responsible or is actually behaving in a bad manner, and is doing that or she's doing that to a subordinate. And so in the end, the subordinate may not actually be able to then highlight their side of the story. So, but what I would want to encourage people is that even if he's a boss, you can still speak politely. So the most important thing is we should never bottle up issues. We should try to find a proper way, in a proper place, in a proper time to communicate the conflict. If it's a boss, for example, you cannot say maybe in a meeting, then you point fingers to say you would have done this. That's not emotionally good. You need to be able to speak, but know the right time, the right place, and the right ways to use to communicate your issue.
Lovely. And lastly, Aloy, I want to know, and as we conclude the conversation, should conflicts always, or should we always endeavor to resolve conflicts? Can't we just let these things solve themselves and see how they pan out as time goes?
Yeah, that one is a very complex and exciting question that you're asking. So, sometimes, like what I said, if you understand the source of the conflict, you can then be able to decide. Yeah, you cannot bark at every thing that is happening, and sometimes you may. Yeah, so there are sometimes when you are just supposed to say, these things, should I respond to them? Sometimes you may just end up using quite diplomacy to say, I came with time, but sometimes time use, Yeah, so it depends on the magnitude of the conflict. So for me, the small talks that I think with time they can actually vanish, and people can get you a healing, and they can actually resolve their conflict. Sometimes it's necessary to just leave them, go. But if you then see things recurring, one conflict constantly coming and causing some productivity deficiencies, people now having resentment, bitterness, and all those things, then it means it's a big issue that needs to be addressed. So I think it's about just trying to analyze the root cause, analyze the magnitude of the problem, and then try to offer then solutions.
Best solutions. Mm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Now, I did promise that it was the last one. When we try to resolve conflicts, I'm going to let you go now. When we try to resolve conflicts, is the outcome always successful, or should we always expect a successful outcome?
I think if we use the right approaches, our success should be more than 90% from my experience, mm-hmm. or maybe let me say 80%. If we use the right mechanisms, if we use the right approaches of dealing with the conflict, you know, they're actually very laid down principles, like what I said, listening, showing empathy, admitting that you're also wrong and all those things. So if you use the right principle, because for me, what I always tell people is a win-win situation. Mm, so if you are using the win-win situation to say, okay, we have a conflict, but at the end of the day, we should all emerge as winners from this. That means that we are going to consider both sides, and that usually results in success. But if we employ the wrong methods, then sometimes the conflict may not be resolved. So what I would say is that let's have at least 90% of the conflicts should be able to be resolved successfully.
Beautiful. Well, my Elder Aloy Nyamazana, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Always a pleasure speaking to you, and today, but no different. Quite a pleasurable conversation we've had there. And I hope that our listeners also learned a great deal. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you very much. Have a good night and enjoy the rest of the day.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. The same to you.
Okay, bye.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.